This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Tony Dunn, ain't nothing to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers news and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers Podcast.
Come on in, Panther fans. Take a seat. Hang out with us on the longest running Panthers podcast. It's the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com, where every Tuesday night we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. My name is Tony Dunn, and tonight we're talking about running backs. The Carolina Panthers commit to pounding the rock. Dave Canales has signed a former friend in Rashad Penny. And what will he do to this running back room with a new rookie, Miles Sanders, on the way out? Is there a trade coming? Is Chuba losing his luster? We'll find out about that. We've got Ricky Raines from Cat Crave joining us at 9:30, and we'll be talking about players on the bubble. Each and every week, I do it with my wheel man, Cody Lack. What's up, my friend?
Tony Dunn, listen, man, it's a Tuesday night. You know there's nowhere I'd rather be on a Tuesday than sitting here with my boys talking Panther football. Tony Dunn, before the draft, you and I had an argument as to when the worst time of the season is. You said it was right around that time. I'm saying it's this one, dude. There's nothing going on. We have to fill a ton of show tonight, but it is always made so effortlessly easy by the joining of the best damn Panther fans in all of YouTube, Tony Dunn. They make it easy. You know them and love them. We got our boy Panther Pickle. Pickle, what's up? Joey the Blind Panther Esquivel, what's up, dude? Brandon Malone, our boy Anthony in the building, what's up? Diesel Skills, the brand ambassador in the building. Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, KG73s, Mossy Man 78 News, Muscles Marinara Paisan, Rare Camera 99, Sideshow, Tim Estes, Niners Podcast, Tony Dunn, and nothing to it but to do it, brother. Let's roll.
We take no weeks off, and neither do you if you're listening. The number's 252-228-5098. You can be part of the conversation. What do you think about this new running back signing? A little hammer to go with some of that, or thunder with some of that lightning, maybe. You know, maybe a little strong goal line back potentially that could help this team going forward. Who do you think is really going to be on the bubble? Players like Amari Barno. Are these guys going to make this team surviving a third regime? We'd love to hear from you with that, but we need your help in the offseason. Like Cody said, it is the starving time. It's the dying time for this podcast. We're in our 11th year right now. We need you to sub up, subscribe, smash the thumbs up, like, retweet, wherever you're at, and welcome in the voice that makes them voice, Codizzle Allen. What's up, my friend?
Man, just happy to be here talking about the Panthers yet again with nothing to talk about. Except for a little couple of pieces here. But Cody's 100% right. This is the dead season. This is the best. Like, you really don't have any ability to talk about anything. There's not anything of real note that's going to be taking place over the next few weeks. You know, really a couple of months, to be honest with you. I know we've got a, I think we've got a schedule for the off-season program that we can always run down and whatnot, but we're still all waiting for that training camp schedule. And then I think they said they're releasing the schedule for the NFL season in the coming week or two. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose, but still not super great to be a podcaster in this time of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only difference is when you get that schedule now, we'll be like, can we win this game? Can we win that game? Can we win this game? And you know, guess what is no one knows. I did want to mention this, that the Hurricanes are leading right now 3-2, end of the second period. The Hurricanes were beaten in game one by the New York Rangers. Tough draw for the Canes. The number two seed in the Eastern Conference draws the number one seed, though, in the second round of the playoffs because they're in the same division. That sucks. That sucks when you are the number two seed, you win in round one, and then you got to go play the best team in the league. Stinks. Hockey's got to do something about the way that playoff seeding is done. And speaking of playoff seeding, don't they reseed the NFL playoffs now? To where, am I making that up? I think they do. Is like if when like a team, say a wild card team, then that wild card team has to play, the worst team has to play the first seed, the best team. I think they reseed the playoffs in NFL now, which if they do, I think that's a great thing, is that that's why the regular season matters. To get those advantages down the stretch.
Right.
The number is 252-228-5098. Let's jump into the show, Cody Lack. The Carolina Panthers are committed to pounding the rock. Dave Canales said he would be stubborn about it. And really, to be honest, this isn't surprising to me given his offensive system, which is stretch the field, an Air Coryell-type descendant. Right, as he comes from a Schottenheimer scheme, very Mike Shula-esque, if you guys remember. I know you guys aren't going to love, a lot of you weren't fans of Mike Shula, but Mike Shula would run, and take deep shots. And that's what Dave Canales did last year, stayed with the run despite some of the struggles early on in the season. And it was nice to have Mike Evans down the field. The Carolina Panthers have signed a running back that Dave Canales has worked with, and Rashad Penny. What's the news on this?
Well, Tony, Rashad Penny is another example of the Panthers bringing in someone who has a history with Dave Canales. The Carolina Panthers made an addition to their running back depth by signing Rashad Penny, 28-year-old, former first-round pick of the Seattle Seahawks in 2018, the 5'11", 220-pounder, spent the last year at Philadelphia, appearing in only three games. So that's the knock on him. He's dealt with a lot of injuries. But he ran for 749 yards and six touchdowns in 2021 in Seattle with Dave Canales, and had 1,951 yards and 13 touchdowns in 45 career games. He's dealt with injuries in the past, including a torn ACL. But get this. He has a 5.6 yards per carry average when he has played. That's ridiculous.
He was good, man, when he came into the league as a rookie. Like, they really got him going early. He's a north-south runner, which I like. It works in the NFL, is that a guy that's just going to hit the hole and go, and maybe not make any moves to break the big one, but he's going to hit you at 3 yards and take you two more to get to that 5 yard average.
Yeah. I actually have some clips of our boy.
Let's get demonetized. Here we go.
No, this is not, they don't hit us for the NFL on 22.
You know, I was thinking about this is when we have the NFL draft party, have they licensed, you know how they license the word Super Bowl? Right. So you can't, like, if you're a bar, you can't have a Super Bowl party. You have to have, like, the big game party. All right. Let's see. Yeah. This is Rashad Penny. Is that so Russell?
He's got That's some Russell. Wiggle to him, man. He's sort of like a slalom skier kind of. He sort of just narrowly kind of slips and glides past you. He's strong, too, and he can cut. But you're right. He needs to get ahead of speed. But once he does, he's a home run hitter, and you see it right there.
Well, I wouldn't say a home run hitter. I think he's a physical back. You know what I'm saying? Is that's what you have to do. Look, that's not home run. That's just next level, right? Is that instead of waiting and dancing.
I mean, he's not slow. Man is running away from dudes.
What was his? Let's see what his 40.
And I remember the Panthers were actually interested in him when he was coming out. I remember because on his draft night, the Panthers were one of the hats that he had available.
He ran a 4.46.
Yeah, so he's not slow.
You know, but here, are we seeing, what does this mean to the running back room, guys? CK is like, Miles Sanders was brought in last year under the old regime.
Right.
Signed a notable contract, not a giant one, but $25 million, I think, and a lot of it was kind of guaranteed. My friend Clip Brock on Pirate Radio described him as a jag, just another guy. I was hoping that he was going to be able to do something. We were hoping a lot of things last year that did not come into effect at all. In fact, it was the exact opposite. But yeah, Chuba Hubbard, who's had his best season last year. How does this room work out? Because we just drafted, what's the guy's name? Jordan.
Jonathan Brooks.
Jonathan Brooks, who is the home run hitter.
Right.
Who is that, you know, is like, how do these guys compliment them? And what does this mean for the rest of the room, CK?
And yeah, Chuba and Miles too.
I think it means a couple of things. Number one, I think it could mean that Brooks is going to start out on the physically unable to perform list. The pup list, for those who don't know what that means.
That stinks.
So that could be what it is. I think this doesn't bode well for Miles Sanders. I'll tell you that much, especially when you realize that last year, Chuba and Blackshear were both better running backs. We may be eating that contract. Now, this could be a play to try to get some assets for Chuba Hubbard, because I could see this being trade bait.
I can't see anybody actually trading for Chuba Hubbard except for a Panthers fan. Right. And like, is not that, again, you know, I'm a certified Chuba Hubbard hater. Right. So I will put that disclaimer out here.
Better than Cameron Artis Payne.
Not true at all. But not true at all. But I think that I don't think the love outside the league is there for Chuba. Like, you know, like really, you would always just let him get cut and then sign him.
Yeah,
maybe you trade Miles Sanders for a 6 or something like that.
So, look, let me add some context to it. This was from NFL.com writing about the Panthers. Nope, wrong one. Let me go one to the right. I know I added it. Did I go too far?
Nope.
Hang on, wait. Did you erase it, Tony?
No, I didn't.
No, there it is. My bad. They're going to be blaming
you. Blame me? You sound like my wife.
I know, right? Everything is in my way. Huh?
Miles
Sanders, Chuba Hubbard are still on the roster, but the Panthers drafted Jonathan Brooks in the second round of the 2024 draft. Hubbard led the Panthers with 902 yards and 5 touchdowns, averaging 3.8 yards per carry. Sanders, on the other hand, just had 432 yards rushing and a touchdown, averaging only 3.3 yards per carry. Penny has a history with head coach Dave Canales, as he was on the offensive coaching staff when Penny was in Seattle. There's still familiarity with how the offense ran, which plays to Penny's strengths. Now, they go on to talk about Sanders. The Panthers may just cut their losses with the 27-year-old Sanders, who still has 3 years remaining on his deal. Sanders could be designated a post June 1st cut, which Carolina would eat $7 million in dead cap space spread out over the next 2 years while saving $200,000 for 2024. Carolina could just wait a year until moving on from Sanders. saving a $5 million. And another point is right now, Miles really has nothing to lose no matter what they do.
Right.
His contract is the biggest out of your running back room right now.
You almost want to get cut, take the money, and go sign another small deal somewhere and make an extra million. The one thing, though, is that it, financially, it doesn't feel like it makes sense to release Miles Sanders. Even trading him doesn't bring the financial gains. But we saw when the Panthers cut bait with Hayden Hurst that the immediate financial might not always be the only driving factor in how you develop a plan, a room, or what's going forward. And right now it's like, how do you make these four backs work together? And are you really going to carry four backs throughout the season when none of these guys are special teams dudes? You know, like you could bring, somebody brought up Blackshear earlier, but Blackshear could do kickoffs and stuff like that. I don't know. Maybe Chuba Hubbard can. I haven't seen Miles Sanders do anything like that. So at what point does the room just become too crowded and the money doesn't matter anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a good question, too. And also, again, it's so cliche when you hear about, oh, we're going to have competition at every spot. But Tony, I really think that they mean it. They want competition.
Gosh, we said this every. I really do. There is no competition.
You add Blackshear on top of it, who we haven't even really named yet, and who a lot of fans like. But then you add Rashad Penny, who does have that home run hitting ability.
I think he's a power back. I think we were missing the power back, though. I think he's a power back. Like, I think you would put him in short goal situations over Chuba Hubbard.
I don't know. I mean, I think they're the same type of back.
5'11",
I mean, I think they're a downhill thumper.
I don't think,
they're the same, like, type of running back. And by the way, I think Chuba is also shiftier than he gets credit for. I mean, he is that downhill thumper. You want to send him through the A and B gap. But, I mean, dude, why do you like to shit on Chuba so much, dude?
Because he stinks.
Chuba is a damn good player.
He's 6'1", 210.
He's been a dependent runner.
He's 6'1", 210. That is Rashad Penny's Chuba? 2 inches shorter and 10 pounds heavier. Yeah. I feel like Chuba's kind of lean. You know what I'm saying? I'm not putting Chuba Hubbard in a goal line situation. In fact, we saw this last year, I feel like, and putting these guys in the goal line situation couldn't do anything. And everybody was like, we need Dante. We need Dante for this. Dante Foreman. I think Penny is the third down back.
Less the running back position and more the O-line not being
Oh, gosh, whatever.
I mean, listen,
look, his Hubbard had his best year last year. I can't deny that, right? He had 902 yards and 5 touchdowns on a terrible team. Chuba Hubbard has made the most out of terrible situations, but he sucked his first 2 years. He just stunk.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
I do.
Talk about how long it takes.
You guys want to cut Mango right away?
It takes time to get good. Oh, what other running
Terrace
back on
Marshall
this
Jr.
roster? Out of all of those guys that we've mentioned, who else do you trust more with 1 or 2 yards on the line?
Rashad Penny.
Penny. Oh, come on.
Yes. He's been more successful through. Look, Chuba averaged. I don't know why you love Chuba. You got a Chuba for Chuba.
No, I mean, you're chubbing like for Chuba. Trash, and he is a damn good, dependable running back.
You're crazy.
He's not ever going to get flashy or get the accolades. But if you have a good old line in front of him, we have shown that he can do damage before. Oh, and
any running back in the NFL can do damage with a good running.
But the reason why you hired Ron Rashawn is because you don't know what Jonathan Brooks's injury is going to look like coming into the season. And Rashawn Penny has been hurt a ton of times himself. So it's not like you can even depend on one of those guys over the other right now. It's really going to be who wins out the competition. And I think that the coaching staff has room to have their mind changed. So if Miles Sanders comes out and is impressive and looks damn near unstoppable, I think they would want him to be a part of what
in
they're
training
gonna do
camp?
Going forward.
CK, where is this real competition at? Come on.
I mean,
talk some sense into him is where they do like three reps.
I mean, I still think that there's competition in the back end, and then they're going to look at speed. They're going to look and see how these guys work out there. It'd be impossible for them not to look at last year's film and try to make a judgment based on that, to be honest with you. I think there will be a competition. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's a competition of who's going to be earning a roster spot behind potentially Brooks being the starting running back in this.
Now that is where competition exists in the NFL. And it's a great segue to talk about some players on the bubble. Don't forget, we got Ricky Raines coming on in about 8 minutes. He'll join this conversation about bubble players, help us revisit the draft and talk about some of these signings in this offseason. You guys get in to the calls. Numbers 252-228-5098. Speaking of, this is the only place that competition actually exists, Cody, like, is on the bubble. I'm sorry. The competition is not real in the NFL. The contracts and the starters, there's about 35 to 40 players that are making the team right now. There's no dispute. They could, they could trip acid and come to damn training camp, and they're still making the team. It's those last 13 spots, 10 spots, that the true bubble exists. That is where competition exists. And so let's talk about that bubble here. We might as well start with the running back group as we're talking about it. Is Blackshear on the roster?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got what? We've got Chuba Hubbard. We've got Rashad Penny. We've got Miles Sanders. We've got Blackshear. Out of those guys, who's more on the bubble, Chuba or Miles Sanders? And maybe is Rashad Penny on the bubble? I think it's not unheard of to sign a guy to a one-year deal and then cut him.
To me, doesn't guarantee that.
Exactly.
Oh, he's a lot to make the roster because he played with Canales before, whatever it is, you know?
I think he's a complimentary back, though, to like what you have is a duplication of skills. Like you have undersized back in Miles Sanders, kind of like a pass catching in my mind. Maybe he hasn't been great in his career at those things, but kind of what I would call like a scat back. You've got Chuba, who can't catch worth shit and isn't just dominantly big or anything. Right. So he's just a regular running back. I think Penny compliments the new player. So who's on the bubble more so, CK? Rashad Penny, Miles Sanders, or Chuba Hubbard?
I still think it's Miles Sanders.
Yeah, I feel so too.
I mean, people are going to say that he's got to stick around because of his contract, but the way I look at it is if he's not, we're already paying him. So regardless of whether he's on the team or not, I would rather have the better running back and not keep him on the, let a running back go that's a better option.
But the money is a problem, though.
It's a problem, but it's already the problem.
Rare Gamer 99 says this. He says Miles is 27, Chuba's 24. Does that matter? It does, but the problem is this is Chuba's in a contract year, right? And what that means is he's not going to be a Carolina Panther next year. This is his final season as a Carolina Panther is like, right. And I would be willing to bet money on it right now, but that's the thing is that you're right is yes, Chuba is younger. He is better right now, but you have money invested in Miles Sanders and you don't have a future in Chuba. And it comes down to how many seats are in the room, Cody, right? I mean, we're talking about the bubble. We're playing musical chairs. And if there's five running backs, so we got Jonathan Brooks, we've got Blackshear, we've got Chuba, we've got Rashad. We have five backs.
So shout out to Panther Pickle. He showed me this website that lets you build your own 53-man roster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. So Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders, Raheem Blackshear right now. They haven't yet added Rashad Penny, but Jonathan Brooks is also on this list.
DJ Chark.
Did you see DJ Chark? Which I didn't know he went to LSU. You see he signed with your boy?
Who?
Justin Herbert. He's a Charger.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
This was a rude ass tweet, but I laughed at it. Is they said now they're treating Justin Herbert like a black quarterback. I was like, that's fucked up.
Justin Herbert's about to get the Cam Newton treatment. I kind of feel like Josh Allen is too, to be honest. And they drafted him another big slow FSU.
All right, so who would be? Let's go through you, Cody, and then CK. Who you keeping in the running back room?
I mean, I'm keeping four running backs, one of them being a kick returner, and that is going to be Brooks, Chuba, Blackshear. Brooks, Chuba, Blackshear, and Penny.
I think I'm with you. I do think Miles Sanders is going to be the odd man out, regardless of the money.
And here's what I'll say too. I think that he has the potential to go and play a really good football for another team.
Sanders?
Yeah, I mean, I think that
maybe not really good football, but have a role in the league.
Yeah, sure. But my reasoning for that belief is that the dude wasn't garbage until he hit the Panthers roster, right?
That's true.
I'm not prepared to write the dude off just simply because of a bad season that was littered with horrible play across the board from our team, you know?
You know, they, but it does give you or some pause or reminder, because I was excited. I thought, I didn't think Miles Sanders was going to be great. Right. Actually, I did think he was going to be good. I thought he was going to get a lot of volume. I thought they were going to be throwing out of the backfield a lot to him. I thought he was going to be a cool sleeper mid-round pick in fantasy, which I've learned that my Panther bias always destroys any fantasy hopes. Like, I'm to the point where I'm never looking at a Panther player again in fantasy football. But the criticism coming out, or when we signed him in the beginning, was that he came from the best offensive line in the league, right? And you had Jalen Hurts running the ball. Like, so it's one of those guys to me. Maybe he is just another guy. Maybe he is who I say. I want Trey Boston to come on this show. Trey Boston did a lot for the Panthers, and I like him as a player. But I feel like a player like Trey Boston looks really good when he's got good players around him. And when he's got regular players around him, he looks regular. And so, that's what Miles Sanders looked like last year.
But listen, this goes down to my core philosophy about running backs. Dude, I don't care that our running back room is a bunch of who's-a-ma-fuckins. Like, I don't give a damn. Because if you look at Miles Sanders and what he did last year, and you didn't know what he had done the year before, you would never look at Miles Sanders and say, that's a running back that's capable of 1,000 yards per season. It's all about the O-line, baby.
Well, it's not all about it. Look, Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey would make an average O-line look better.
No, too many.
He did. He would make more out of nothing.
That the offensive line, if they're able to get going and make lanes, dude, you don't have to have
that helps a lot. An
early drafted running back. You can get by with the undrafted free agents that can be 1,000-yard rushers and break records in the playoffs, like the 49ers running back Samuel LeDoux every single year.
You do not need
premium talent at the running back position.
Too simple. No, and look, you're right when you're talking about regular players, but there are true stars. There are true transcendent players.
Sure.
But right? These guys, there are game changers and they can be at the running back position. Right. So I think you're right in your general logic, but I do think there are players, Adrian Peterson, Christian McCaffrey, Barry Sanders,
that they don't exist, but that are the elite of the elite,
and that's different.
But if you compare the other positions that are the elite of the elite, the wide receivers, the quarterback, the offensive line, it is much more premium to have those types of offensive talents than a premium running back. When so much of what the running back does depends on those nasty offensive linemen in front of them. So if you have a good old line, yeah, I agree with CK. It's not plausible, or it is plausible that Sanders goes behind a good old line and is able to do some things. That's why I just bought that the idea that maybe Miles Sanders might be able to impress some people this year, given that he has a new offensive line in front of him. And yes, yeah, they are going to have some time to evaluate them during training camp. I know it's not a popular opinion, but given how much uncertainty there is, I would not count Miles Sanders out until he is 100% counted out of this equation.
Well, yeah, the money. How about this? Look, Ricky Reigns is, I forgot to press enter. I put the link in the direct messages and never hit the click the button. So Ricky Reigns will be on here any second. It's my fault. How about this? Why don't we take a cat call real quick before he gets in?
Sure.
The number is 252-228-5098. Mm-hmm. We want to hear your thoughts on the bubble, on Miles Sanders, on Rashad Penny, or whatever you want to talk about.
So what are your thoughts on catcalling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think catcalling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like a 3 and a 4 and a who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his nose? Who's that kid that can use one?
Yo, what's up, T3? It's Anthony from Charlotte.
What up, man?
Hope you're having a good Tuesday. Just wanted to call in and say what's up. Kind of a dead period still. The league, really, for the Panthers. Rashad Penny was signed. It's whatever. Kind of an insurance guy. The only takeaway I've really come away from this offseason, besides trying to better Bryce Young's position to give himself real success, is that I don't think Dave Canales is a liar. I don't think he's a hypocrite or anything like that, or he's impulsive. That was the one thing I hated the most about Matt Rhule. Frank Reich was honest. He was just honest, like, in not giving a fuck. He was just like, yeah, like, I know if ran the ball that may be the better thing, but no, that's not what I want to do. But like, I think Dave Canales is going to be right in the approach of like, hey, I'm going to be committed to running the ball this year, but if it doesn't work, then we're going to adjust. But running the ball, most times it works. You just got to commit to it by not, giving up on it after like 4 run plays if you're only getting like 8 yards in those 4 run plays, stuff like that. But like, I think like the one thing is, again, like, he's just honest. So I don't think we're going to be bullshitted by him at all.
Right.
This whole running back conundrum, like, guys, I think Jonathan, obviously, I wouldn't have taken a running back there, and people are still arguing about it. The only way this pick really works is if Jonathan Brooks turns into like a top 7 running back. Like, if he's like top 5, top 7 by the end of his second season, or if we see like really good flashes after his first year, then okay, yeah, it's going to be a home run pick. But otherwise, no, he needs to be good. And it's not necessarily his fault. It's just that where he was taken. And you got to think, it's like, okay, well, if you took this running back so high, why are you signing all these other running backs? Is this going to be a whole committee thing? I assume Miles Sanders is going to be out. I just think that they need to give him the rock if this pick's going to really work out, y'all, because there are just so many other like base positions of need that we needed, like, or best player available at like cornerback, edge, linebacker. And I know their draft boards are different than what we think every year, which is why I'm like not as in tune with getting upset over most of these prospects. But those are my thoughts. Keep pounding. Keep motherfucking pounding. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Keep pounding, Anthony. Listen, like I kind of alluded to earlier, to me, none of the running back moves have done anything other than say, we want competition. By the way, the super chat, Kev says, Cody is a power back. Yes, Diddy. Fuck you, Kev. Appreciate you.
but I love. Isn't there one we missed one from earlier? I believe too. I
no, think we didn't. Harry didn't save it.
I thought I saw one. Okay. I'm with Josh. I like the Brooks pick personally, is I think there is value in drafting running backs because you just run them mugs into the dirt. If they are a diamond dozen, like you said, is you get a good one and you run them into the dirt.
I want to run my theory across our guests and see if he agrees or not.
Perfect. You're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Every Tuesday night, we're chopping up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. We appreciate your time and being here with us. Let's welcome in Ricky Raines from Cat Crave. At Ricky Bobody, the coolest dang, and a great X handle, Twitter handle, and a great sign that his wife got him.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
We are bored.
Bored? Really?
Yeah,
with
man.
All the commotion?
I mean, let's ask him the question. What is the deadest time in the NFL?
Yeah, right
for
now.
Me, it's
right now. He's there right now. He's on my side right now. Yeah. It's
when did
undisputed.
I say it was? It was like right when free agency.
Yeah, no, you were ended. Like
in between free agency and the draft.
Yeah,
in between free agency and the draft.
And that's
at least at that point you could look forward to the draft. Now we're just, dude, we're waiting for OTAs.
Yeah, like we're getting excited because the rookies are going to show up on Friday, right?
Yeah,
and like that doesn't really mean much either. But I think they're both significant lulls, and we had the mock drafts to kind of pass our time, right, during the pre-draft period. Right now, it's just sort of like, hey, let's just see what happens.
I hate a mock draft.
I know you did.
God.
I was guilty as charged.
Let me ask, how many mock drafts did you do?
Well, you know, for me too, though, man, I did my big board. So I did a lot of pre-draft work for the draft in general, not just for the Panthers. So I was kind of getting a feel for the layout and what I thought was some realistic scenarios. I probably did 50 mock drafts in that pre-draft period.
In those mock drafts, 50.
Yeah.
Did you get any picks right other than Xavier Leggett?
No, I don't think I did. I had Jonathan. Well, actually, I take that back, man. I had Jonathan Brooks, and I actually was taking Jonathan Brooks at 39 at one point when smoke started to really pop up about Jonathan Brooks. And by the way, he was also my 39th ranked overall prospect on my top 150.
Nice.
So, like, I was higher on him, I think, than a lot of people were. I think that ACL injury really took away from the overall evaluation and what people might have thought of him coming out. But no, man, as far as like the Trevon Wallace pick, hell no, that wasn't on my radar. He was my number 100 overall prospect. So I don't think it was like a egregious pull to take him in the third round, but there were other prospects on there that I probably would have personally sided for.
We've been talking about the running back room since we signed Rashad Penny. So we'll start with this the signing happened today. How do you see, look, we know there's a connection. And look, this is the nepotism of the NFL is real, right? Is like when from coaching staffs to players.
Yeah.
That, I mean, even Dan Morgan trading with Buffalo and Brandon Bean and some different things. Now, you heard that New England was in the mix. I don't think they want to trade with their own division, but they did trade with the Chiefs. So the nepotism, the relationships matter. Dave Canales has some history with Rashad Penny. How do you see him as an addition to this room? And what we were talking about is who's on the bubble in this room. There's five running backs. I mean, somebody's got to, I mean, obviously we'll be talking about this for months, but how do you see this working out?
I mean, for me, man, I didn't look at it as like, he's going to come in and compete for running back two or anything like that. Okay. Jonathan Brooks is the future. They've invested a second round pick in Jonathan Brooks. They have high plans for him.
I think he's RB1, to be honest.
If he's healthy, I think he 100% is. I think that what they do here is with Chuba in his final year of his contract, I think you run him into the dirt, as you guys were just saying. Get as much as you can out of that, right? Squeeze that lemon, get every drop of juice out of it. Make the best lemonade you can this year. You're likely not going to give him a second contract unless it's a very team-friendly one. Jonathan Brooks, you ease him in. You see about his health, man. And look, that ACL thing doesn't scare me as much as it seems to scare other people. Breece Hall just came back from an ACL, a clean tear, and right around that same amount of a time frame. And he came back, and after the first month or two in the season, he was right back to form, man. Tajay Spears is playing for Tennessee Titans, and he's got like half of an ACL left. He's tore it like three different times. I'm not overly concerned about his recovery there. I think that what Rashad Penny does is he brings a skill set that wasn't in the room.
I agree.
Right. I mean, this is a guy power. That is Brings he's a break, he's a breakaway. He's a breakaway runner. Like you look at him, he's got almost a 50%
That's what I said.
Clip.
He's a home run hitter.
Oh,
yeah. He's a home run hitter.
Yeah. Tony just got done fighting on this because Tony's like, he's a power bat. And I'm like, yeah, he is to a degree. But I also think that he's a home run hitter when you give him the opportunities.
Everybody is when you get past the second level.
Not everyone.
Not everybody. Yeah. Look, we've seen Chuba not be able to kind of finish those runs, right?
Miles Sanders,
Miles Sanders as well. And the other dynamic with Rashad Penny, though, is that he's got that kick return flexibility as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good kick returner. He was a great kick returner at San Diego State. And I think that what they're doing is when they look at this, they're not going to have Jonathan Brooks rushed into a big role. They're going to let him kind of dictate that. But then you need somebody to complement Chuba, right? So who is that going to be? Is it going to be Miles Sanders, who has a very comparable play set, play style and skill set as Chuba? Or do you bring in something that's a little bit different? And it doesn't hurt, man, that he's got familiarity with Canales and the scheme. Why would that be a bad thing? Like, that's not a terrible thing at all to have familiarity with it. With Rashad Penny, it's all about his health. If he's healthy, man, he's a really good football player.
Yeah.
Now, has he lost a step? That's the question, right?
Probably.
Because he was a healthy scratch in Philly. Philly also does weird shit, man. Like, Nick Sirianni loves Kenneth Gainwell. He put Kenneth Gainwell as running back two to start the season and got rid of Sanders. Maybe they could have brought him back for a team-friendly deal if the Panthers hadn't went and thrown a bag at him, right? So there's just context to it all. I see this as a competition between Sanders, Penny, Blackshear. There's like three other guys, the Sheridan kid, the undrafted free agent that we have. I still think that he's going to make a little bit of noise in camp. I think that it's like five people competing for running back three and running back four, and you're not going to keep Miles Sanders on the practice squad. So if he's the odd man out, you're looking for an audition to trade him and get anything back or a post June 1st cut to relieve a little bit of that dead cap money.
Yeah, Ricky. And listen, I just sort of said my philosophy on the running back position. Listen, it's great if you have a transcendent running back talent, right?
Yeah.
Who doesn't
Way to put a
Derrick
caveat
Henry,
in there now,
a Derrick
buddy.
Henry or a Christian McCaffrey. But the point that I always make is that it's so overrated compared to the elite talent at other offensive positions. Specifically, obviously, quarterback, but wide receiver and O-line especially. If you looked at Miles Sanders last year and you had never seen anything about him before, you would have never thought that that guy would have ever had a 1,000-yard rushing season in his life, but he did behind that really good Philadelphia O-line. Yeah. To me, this running back room is perfect because if our O-line is as upgraded as we hope it is with that new offensive interior, to me, you can't tell me that one or two of these running backs in this room
we're going 1-15
can't
now,
really dude. Be explosive if we get this O-line kind of back where it should be. Do you agree with those sentiments more?
A man said this is perfect. Shut up.
Who do you need? What other running back did you need to make the Carolina Panthers a good run team, Tony?
Ricky, the question is for you, but I think it is even more nuanced than just only a good offensive line.
It's
part of the running game comes from the ability
to pass
the ball.
You make sound more harsh, Tony.
Okay. Yeah,
because they are overrated.
Say perfect. You know what? I'm jaded. I ain't saying shit is perfect in Carolina, but Ricky, address this question.
Well, so I won't say the P word. I wouldn't call it perfect, right? Because I think that, Tony, I think that you just made a pretty fair point that ties into what you're talking about, Cody. There's a marriage with the offense. You can't have a terrific run game without at least the threat, the viable threat of an efficient passing game. So with all of these things, the emphasis on the offensive line is terrific as far as optimism for both of those prospects, passing and running the football. We should improve in both. Not to mention the offensive scheme will not be Frank Reich's offensive scheme or Thomas Brown and Frank Reich's weird little baby of a scheme, right? This should be something that is a cohesive, aligned format of running an offense. So with that in mind, I do think that you can see a way better performance from this running back room. Even if Miles Sanders stays, man, and like, look, I was pretty vocal about I thought that Rashad Penny could open the door for Miles Sanders to be a afterthought here in Carolina.
It's true, but
because I think that Canales has been really transparent, man, about like, I'm not going to keep somebody just because you guys signed him last year or paid him a lot of money. He's going to evaluate the roster for the best players. And if Rashad Penny is healthy, Rashad Penny has been just as good of a running back as Miles Sanders in his career with a lesser offensive line. That's a fact, right?
Yes.
So I think that it's a legitimate thought. But even if Miles Sanders stays, man, I anticipate a better performance from him too, because I think that we should have a more viable offense as a collective. But I don't think that it's just the offensive line improving that's going to make all these guys, you know, barn burners. I will point out to this about the health aspect. Raheem Mostert went to Miami, right? And he hadn't had a healthy season
right. The
entire time at San Francisco. They put him in that scheme out there in Miami behind that offensive line, and he barely got touched. Like, a lot of his yards were untouched. He was averaging like 4 yards before contact last year. If we can do that with some of these guys and alleviate some of that, you know, brutal back and forth that their bodies take as running backs, hey, what's to stop us from having a better year than people anticipate?
Well, look, is that it's easy to have a better year than you anticipate when you don't anticipate anything.
When you anticipate, yeah, that's
and that is good. Where I'm going to stay at, and it's all we're playing with house money at this point for me.
Yeah.
And that was largely how not only was the Panthers season just so epically terrible last year, but part of it was the excitement that we generated. And, you know, to be honest, the media, the Charlotte media, the team, they didn't stray from it either. They were feet. And I remember Bill Voth came out, and he's no longer with the team, and he said something like, you got to be cautious about how much you're fanning the flames of optimism with all of this new stuff. Cody, how about this? Let's take one more call, or another call, should I say, and then pick the next position group that we're going to dissect for who is on the bubble.
Gotcha.
Because, and then we'll have to ask Ricky at some point, is there any competition in the NFL beyond the last 10 spots on a roster? I don't think there is. It is, you're competing from 45 to 53 on the roster. And other than that, the guys are entrenched. Let's take another call. The number is 252-228-5098. Cody, I'm counting on you to pick the next position group.
Gotcha.
Yo, what's up, my C3 family? D, Sanford, North Carolina.
What's up, D?
Shout out to the great Tony Dunn, to the homie Cody Lack, the Cold Dizzle CK, to Muscles Marinara, that effing guy, and the shut the hell up, Panther Pickle D's, Cole, JJ, Jake, the whole family. Love every single one of you. I'm totally ecstatic that we're going to pound the ball. Getting these backs in here, get as many fresh legs and running. It can only do but help Bryce and make Bryce better and make Bryce efficient. So having them guys load up on the box because they can't stop the run, and then we hit that play action over the top or hit some little short passes here and there, dink and dunk it, hand it right back off. Ball control, keep our defense off the field as much as we possibly can. Sound like a recipe for some W's, family. And that's what we're here for, this team of dogs that we got assembled here. These dogs is about to bite, and I smell it. We're going to have a great year. Like I said, I love every single one of y'all. I'm so, so thoroughly ecstatic to get to all the other festivities that we get to training camp. Hopefully, we have a big C3 reunion. Hey, love every single one of y'all. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding. We're definitely going to have to talk about that C3 get-together, man. That's going to be too fun. But listen, let's go back to the Panthers roster. We've sort of been predicting who's going to be the guys that are on the bubble. We predicted for running back that Blackshear probably on the bubble in that scenario. Ricky, real quick, do you have a bubble player for the running back room that you see potentially?
No, because I have no idea.
Out, really?
Man, I don't have any idea what they intend to do with that position, though, to be completely honest. I don't know how many they plan to carry on the 53, and I think that plays a really big part in it, because I think you only stash one or two on the practice squad, right?
Yeah.
So you got five that you're choosing between. So it's really hard right now to pick a bubble for the running back spot. But I will say that the punt return and the kick return option becomes really interesting when you draft Xavier Leggett, who that may be a immediate area where he can contribute, and that takes away from Raheem Blackshear's value. You know what I mean? So does he become dispensable at that point? I think it's very dependent on Jonathan Brooks' health, though.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Health is really the story for a few of these guys. Brooks, Penny. Yeah, absolutely. Even Sanders wasn't too healthy most of the time last year.
Correct.
So let's go to the wide receiver position. Who do we think is going to be on the bubble at wide receiver? The guys we have so far, Jonathan Mingo, Xavier Leggett, Terrace Marshall Jr., Deontay Johnson, David Moore, Cam Sims, Adam Thielen, Elir Smith, Marcette. And that's just to name a few. We also have some undrafted free agents that I know a lot of people are excited about. Boys, who do we think is going to be the bubble player who's probably not long for the team?
How is it not Terrace Marshall Jr.?
Yeah.
I mean, how is it not? You know, he's made the roster. He's never made any impact on the team outside of a few plays when Steve Wilks was the coach. We saw him last year at training camp.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He kind of reminds me, he's like the wide receiver version of CJ Henderson. You know, is like he doesn't talk with anybody on the sidelines. All of the hope we had last year and all the opportunity. CK, who's on the bubble here? He said a bunch of names too after Terrace Marshall Jr. I don't know any of them.
Yeah, like Cam Sims and those guys.
Yeah, who are these people?
I mean, it's
signed late last year.
It's anybody not named Mingo, Xavier, Johnson.
Yeah, those guys and Thielen. Right.
So anybody not named those three. Amir Smith, I think he's going to be a make it. I think he's going to be a surprise candidate over top.
He's our special teams guy.
Well, I think he was like, even when you look at this, like we brought Deontay Johnson on because he was considered the best separator in the league last year, or really his entire time in the NFL. It's always been his hands that are the biggest issue. But when you think about Amir Smith-Morset, when you look at his analytics from last year, he was actually an incredibly efficient separator. It's just he wasn't getting as many opportunities.
Three plays.
That's why I think that he will get the opportunities under Canales.
Ricky is, obviously we're going to look Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Starter. He's already said they told him he was going to be the X.
Right.
Xavier Leggett, number one draft pick this year, traded up. I mean, obviously Thielen, it seems like unless they trade him or something like that, they've got a role for him. Mingo, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet. I think it's Amir Marcet. The last time Ricky, I've got a spreadsheet somewhere about we usually only keep five or six wide receivers.
Right.
Like, six is a high number of wideouts. And the only time I think we had seven on the roster was when Steve Smith got hurt back in 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. Remember, he broke his forearm or his leg in the preseason game or some shit.
Right.
But there's at the max, there's six players. We've got Johnson, we've got Leggett, we've got Thielen, we've got Mingo, we've got
Amir Smith Marset. Yeah. Yep.
Who is else in this team who could make it?
So you bring up an interesting point with Thielen. Just about the slim possibility that he gets moved, right? I don't foresee that happening because I think that stability at the wide receiver position is still going to be necessary for Bryce Young in year two.
Right.
Taking away something that he's very comfortable with, that he's had production with, seems a little bit counterintuitive to me. But if they get an offer for anything reasonable, right? If somebody wants to give a third rounder or something like that for Adam Thielen, you move off of it immediately.
Would you take a fifth for him?
I mean, it depends on what they think about Jonathan Mingo, to be completely honest. That's where I think it really comes down to for me.
Right.
And that's where it's really difficult to project some of this stuff, is because this is a brand new coaching staff with no ties to any of these players. But there is a chance that they come in and they see, I don't personally believe this, they come in and they see Terrace Marshall Jr. and they say, look, this kid's got ability, because that's something that's never been questioned with Terrace. It's his ability to play the position. That's
what's been the problem.
From everything that I have like gathered and conversations that I've had, it's been more of a mentality and more of a defeated when things aren't going his way, he's not a very happy camper.
CK,
and that's understandable. That's understandable to me to an extent because of the circumstances that he's dealt with. But also, you're a young player. You're trying to make your hay. You kind of got to go out there and do it. Now, he has been very professional from a media standpoint, right? That doesn't mean that what we hear is exactly what happens in the locker room. He's had issues where he's not getting on the field. And that's talking about with a wide receiver group that was just abysmal last year, right? So, like, if you're ever going to take a chance on talent over attitude, that's when you would have done it. I also think they were very stubborn with DJ Chark. Now that he's gone, that opens up a little bit with the alignment.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm still embarrassed by thinking
So talking about the bubble seat, man, I think that Amir Smith-Marset is still up in the air, to be completely honest, man. He signed a one-year contract, right? Like, we didn't give him any kind of big vote of confidence. One-year contract, and it was kind of just like, hey, look, who else is on the roster? Like, we don't
for
have
me,
anybody
he's
else.
He's a kick returner or a punt returner. That's what we signed him for.
But then what do you do if you have any kind of vision of using any of these other guys in that position, right?
Like
Xavier Leggett, Rashad Penny, if he makes the team.
Punt, was it Amir? He wasn't kickoff.
Raheem Blackshear was our kick returner,
right?
And Amir was our punt returner. Now you still have Deshaun
Rashad Penny at punt return, though.
No, but you do have Deshaun Jameson, the corner out of Texas last year, that was a really good special teams player at Texas. So if he's going to make the roster, because you're also going to have this log jam in that cornerback room, that you got to figure out who has that special teams value. So there is just this question of which player is likely to assume those positions. And that's what's going to dictate a lot of these bubble positions, in my opinion. Amir Smith-Marset is probably the favorite to get that last spot. David Moore seems like a camp body who's coming in to help with vocabulary and familiarity with the scheme.
Connection, right?
Correct.
Seattle.
Right. Kind of like that.
I will say this, though. Terrace Marshall Jr., actually turning it around at this point might be one of the most surprising things to happen on the entire roster. Like, nobody
on the planet, bro.
Nobody believes in Terrace Marshall Jr. at this point. We've been waiting to see flashes from him for a long time and still haven't seen it. And, you know, it is something worth mentioning, Ricky. If you're right, if his kind of boils down to an attitude problem, well, it's kind of hard to continue to ingratiate yourself to a different coaching staff after a different coaching staff.
Yeah.
It just gets harder and harder the more time goes on. And then knowing Jonathan Mingo and Xavier Leggett, the fact that both of those guys in college had times when their coaches would move them into the slot, like it seems as though you would want to work those guys from those slot positions.
Ooh.
It does Mingo and Xavier Leggett.
Well, I've heard Mingo's natural position is the slot. Like, he's more
of that type of player. People said that it was an unfair comparison. And Ricky, that would actually be a good question for you at some juncture. But a lot of people were kind of comparing Xavier Leggett to Jonathan Mingo. Basically saying that they're almost like the same kind of wide receiver.
Yeah.
And in some respects, it is true. The way that you deploy them is similar, although I do think Xavier Leggett has much more physical attributes. But you mentioned trading Adam Thielen, and it does make me wonder, like, now that you add Deontay Johnson to the mix, you're going to want to move around Mingo and Leggett, I'm assuming. It does make you wonder about the trade viability of Adam Thielen and what they would even be able to get for him at this point.
Well, and to play devil's advocate to that question, though, we shouldn't feel 100% certain. And Tony, you said you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater just yet, but that bathwater wasn't drawn by this coach. So if they look at this, if they look at these guys and they say, hey, look, Mingo just doesn't look like a good football player. Like, I don't think that he cracks the rotation.
Second rounder.
Yeah, so was Terrence Marshall Jr. And Terrence Marshall Jr. had a whole lot more production at college. Terrence Marshall Jr. had big seasons.
But you gave him 4 years.
This will be his fourth, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've given Terrence Marshall Jr. a leash.
Hey, look, I hear you.
And I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Right.
But I think this is, I think it would be ultimately, if we're going to go on the internet and argue about how unfair it is to judge Bryce Young because of all of the system, it's not like Mingo.
You have to be fair across the board.
Well, and what I was going to say about the trade value, though, is that when you're asking what the trade value is for Thielen, what could the trade value be for a second rounder just 1 year removed that some people might have really believed in his talent? Does he give you actually more of a return? And then allows Thielen to continue to man that slot position because that's the only alignment that Thielen is going to be deployed from, right? We're not going to run Thielen out there in the flanker. Like, that's just not going to work out. Now, it may happen like three snaps out of a game or something like that just to keep a defense honest, but that's not where you're going to work him out of. So when you're looking at that logjam at that position, you do have to consider if Mingo can get a better return and this coaching staff isn't sold on him, I'm not giving him the, you know, sure thing just because he was drafted in the second round last year. I'm not out on Mingo personally. I think that he showed ability. I think that he was completely misused, as was about 90% of the roster last season, if you want to be completely honest. So I try to give everybody a little bit of a hall pass for last year. Mingo was young. He wasn't supposed to take on as big of a role as he did. They forced that. If he gets his feet underneath him and he has a little bit more field awareness and he takes it a little bit more seriously, from all the things that I heard, he does work relatively hard. It's not like the guy just doesn't practice. So if he had a good offseason, if Canales can get a lot out of him, Canales is a really good wide receiver coach. Brad Isaac was a really good wide receiver coach. If anyone is going to get something out of these guys, it's this coaching staff. And we should also look at that on the other hand and say, if they don't like him, we got to trust that too. And if they say, hey, look, Mingo, we don't like Thielen, we think we can trade. We're ready to roll with Jalen Coker out of Holy Cross. If that's what they come into and they like, hey, look, man, I'm open right now to just about any situation they want to do.
And it seems like that never happens for Carolina. Like it happens for every other team and not us, that guy that surprises out of nowhere and ends up making the roster. Like, man, why can't we ever have good things, man? Like that needs to happen to us at some point in time.
It would be a fun story.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. I have such a short leash for anyone that hasn't done anything for us. Like, if you have not played good football for the Panthers, I'm not going to bat an eyelash at you, man. And Jonathan Mingo, I also noticed last year that there felt like a lot of times where he would just sort of half-ass run his route, and it just seemed kind of low effort from him at times. Yeah. If that continues to be a problem this year, you've got to think that they're either going to look to say something to him or put him on the bench or something, because we need something from him.
Also, it's worth keeping in mind, too, that if they're really truly going to emphasize the run game and he's going to be stubborn with that, you're going to need wide receivers that are good blockers, right? Yes. I don't know that ISM fits that billing all that much. I don't know that Thielen fits that billing all that much. Now, Thielen is a much better pass catcher, though. But Jonathan Mingo, that was one of the reasons that he was thought of highly coming out, is that they thought that he was a good, you could shift him into motion, let him run through that C gap and pick up those motion blocks. If he is going to be able to be deployed in that way, he may end up being a little bit more valuable to this offensive scheme than what we saw last year.
Yeah. Hey, my last question about the receiver thing. Yeah. Deontay Johnson said that he's the number one wide receiver, that he came here to get to be the number one on most of the plays. Do you think that's true? You agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I don't see any reason not to believe it, to be completely honest. We force-fed Adam Thielen into wide receiver one last year because we didn't have other viable options. I don't think that necessarily meant that Adam Thielen would be wide receiver one for just about any other NFL football team other than our team last year. Deontay Johnson playing the X is only surprising to people because they think of the X has to be a big, strong, physical receiver, right? That's a big misconception on that. It's press coverage. Can you beat press coverage? That is what the X alignment is. Deontay Johnson is about the only player on this roster that you should feel confident can beat press coverage at a high percentage. So, no, I'm not surprised by that one bit, man.
All right.
What's next?
We're picking up some more bubble players. Y'all want to – what other position? Tony, I picked the last one. What other position you want?
Well, let's go to the easy one, tight end room.
Yep.
Tight end.
You know, what you get is you get Tommy Trimble. You get Ian Thomas, who is the player who won't go away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still upset that Ian Thomas turned out to be a terrible player because, like, his rookie season, he came out and was a pass-catching tight end. And
I mean, he has been far below expectations.
Totally.
I wouldn't call him terrible because they wouldn't bring him back if he – I don't know. He's not doing anyone – he's not making any new Panther fans, let's say.
And then we got a rookie, right? We got the rookie from Texas. So
Javion. So all the tight ends listed here, we have Tommy Trimble, Stephen Sullivan, Chris Pierce Jr., Ian Thomas, Jordan Matthews, and the newly drafted Jatavion Sanders.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys comment on this because, I mean, I think Tommy Trimble has potential still as a player. I don't think he's been bad. I think he's just been on a bad team. And Ian Thomas is just fat now to me. I hate to say that because I'm, you know, but he... I mean, do you carry all of these guys? Do you carry four tight ends? Usually, I think we carry three tight ends.
Ian Thomas was here when Ron Rivera was here. That's funny to think of. I really don't even know who's on the bubble. I'm just hoping that we're able to get a Tommy Trimble, Jatavion Sanders, two tight end sets this year. Like, that's what I'm really hoping that we're able to do. Yeah. The rest is just a bunch of who cares to me.
Agreed. I think unfortunately, Ian Thomas, I think, is our best run blocking tight end. And based on the draft profiles I've seen on Jatavion Sanders, he's not going to be coming in to fill that role.
No, he won't. I would even argue that Tommy Trimble is our better blocker at this point in their careers as well. I think that when you look at the way Ian might be a better inline blocker, but he's a little bit slow, man. Like his reaction is slow. We saw him get beat a couple times last year as an inline blocker that he just did not have wherewithal, man. Like he was just a second delayed and you just can't be that. You know what I mean? Now he's got the longer arms and I think that's where he kind of has that recovery physical ability. But Tommy Trimble, man, I love him a lot as a lead blocker. He played that H-back role at Notre Dame. Very similar kind of to like a George Kittle deployment out of that backfield, where he could kind of be that fullback. He could shift and motion back into that H-back. He can line up in the slot. I think that he has a little bit more versatility. So when you look at what Canales said about a Swiss Army knife in the tight end room, Tommy Trimble is the only one that fits that billing at this point. So for me, he would be the de facto tight end one coming into the season. I'm with you, Cody, that I would love to see some 12 personnel run with Jatavion Sanders and Tommy Trimble out there. Yes. The problem you run into there is exactly what we were just talking about. Jatavion is not a good blocker, man. Like, he's just not. And I know that a lot of fans want to overlook that and say, well, he's not brought in here to do that. He's brought in as a pass-catching weapon. I agree, because that's about the only redeemable thing that you saw on his majority of his tape. Sometimes he can make a play as a lead blocker in open space, but he's not super nimble, man. Like, as a lateral mover, that's not his thing. As a pass catcher, he's gonna bust the seams. He's going to be able to execute on slip screens and quick pass concepts like that. But this isn't a three-level route runner. Like, so I hope that fans aren't expecting him to come in and do any of the things that we've seen, like a Dalton Kincaid or Sam Laporta or George Kittle or any of those guys, right? Mark Andrews is somebody that I see him compared to a lot. And that's just not a fair comparison. He's going to be a possession tight end receiver. That doesn't offer a huge usage right away, in my opinion. Stephen Sullivan is an interesting name because he has a connection with Canales from Seattle days. So does he end up making the roster over Ian Thomas, or does Canales say we need that blocking tight end and keep Ian Thomas over Stephen Sullivan? I also think Stephen Sullivan could be a practice squad player whereas Ian Thomas maybe gets another gig somewhere else in the NFL.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point to make there, is that the blocking from Jatavion Sanders leaves a lot wanting. And most times at tight end, you know, especially early in their career, coaches aren't going to feel comfortable putting them out there for any type of pass catching if they don't trust them in pass protection and in run blocking. And there's so much in the college game that they're not asked to do, you know, as opposed to the NFL, where they're asked to do so many different things. And just the strength and conditioning system of NFL athletes is different. I think this kind of contributes to why some tight ends take longer than others to develop and kind of turn into that player that you've been waiting to see, which is why it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, even though fans love to hate on him, if we would actually end up seeing a little more Ian Thomas than they're hoping to, as opposed to Jatavion Sanders, while he does learn the ropes and the ins and outs of being an actual tight end of doing everything that position entails.
Rookie tight ends haven't produced typically in like a historical fashion, man. I think that everyone is a little bit nearsighted because of Sam LaPorta and Dalton Kincaid in the past 2 years. But if you go back beyond that, rookie tight ends don't make a huge impact in their first year in the league, man. That position takes some time to acclimate and get used to all of the responsibilities in the NFL that you have to do. And you're exactly right, Cody. No block, no rock type of situation, right? If you are a liability out there, A, you're tipping the hand to the defense that when you're out there, you're a pass catcher. You're not a blocker. So that's going to remove that side of the field as a running assignment, right?
Right.
So if that's the case, they're not going to use you a lot. They will use you in obvious situations because you have a commodity to you. But you're not going to stay multiple by putting Jatavion Sanders out there for 80% of the snaps.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Let's go.
Let's go to the defense. Let's go to the cornerbacks in the secondary because
that's a tough one, man.
I mean, and then we'll go defensive line, and that's probably about all we got to really talk about when it comes to the bubble at knowing at this point.
Yep. So, which position you wanna do first?
Let's start with the corners. We've got J.C. Horn on his fifth-year option. We have Troy Hill, who's played well, who is familiar with Giro or Evero. Mm-hmm. And we drafted a rookie corner, but I couldn't tell you any other corners on the team. I know we signed some guy that people keep, they say his name and they're like,
Dane Jackson.
What's his name again, CK?
Dane Jackson.
Yeah.
Isn't that his name?
Yeah. And those are all the names I know in the secondary group, which is wild.
DiCaprio Boodle. Or as DiCaprio Booty. Isn't that what Dave Newton called him?
Yeah.
Hey, Lamar Jackson's on our team. That's cool.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you, man, I think that they really like DiCaprio Boodle. If you read between the lines, man, I think that this staff is high on DiCaprio Boodle and Dane Jackson. And that doesn't make fans feel warm and fuzzy. I understand that sentiment. But they made a pretty conscious decision to not take a corner that has, well, Showsmith Wade does have a lot of experience as a boundary corner. That's what he played primarily at Washington State, the rookie that we took in the fifth round. But he's 5'9", 184 pounds with short arms. So the prospects of him playing boundary in the NFL are a little bit muddy to me. I don't necessarily see that being the smartest thing. He picked up nickel really fast at the Senior Bowl, but now you got this log jam at nickel, right? So like, what do you do there? Cause you got Troy Hill. You just drafted Jamie Robinson last year. I guess he could project more as a safety, but then you got DeShawn Jameson, who they seem to be pretty high on last year as well. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, but DiCaprio Boodle and Dane Jackson, man, I think they got some serious support within the building.
Do you think it's inevitable that we sign Stephon Gilmore? Because I feel like Panther fans have kind of convinced themselves that this is inevitable, that this is going to happen. But I just don't take anything for granted. I don't see a dependable cornerback two on this roster right now. Like, we have J.C. Horn, and again, J.C. has a well-documented history with the injuries now. We're hoping to see a full, healthy season from him. But God, like, who's on the other side of him?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. And the more I look at it, the more it just scares me. Like, if you don't go and get Stephon Gilmore on this team, I'm really worried that we don't have anywhere near the type of depth to stop the pass in the NFC South.
I don't think it's as much of an inevitability as so many fans think it is. I think that it's probable that they make a move in the cornerback room. Now, whether that's on the waiver wire after the first or second round of cuts that Dan Morgan has said that he'll be aggressive with, or if that's on a secondary player like an Adoree Jackson or something like that that's still out there at free agency, the concern with Stephon Gilmore is, does he want more money than what we should be allocating to that cornerback two position? But Cody, you bring up a point about J.C. Horn that I think you should touch on, and that's that if J.C. is really more consistent about missing games than he is about playing them, you have to have somebody you feel comfortable that can slide into cornerback one and then a contingency plan at cornerback two. Mm-hmm. That's where I think the Dane Jackson and DiCaprio Boodle dynamic happens, because I think that they like Dane Jackson as cornerback two. I think that if you were to see J.C. Horn get injured, I think they keep Dane at corner two and they slide DiCaprio over to that cornerback one position and they let them both man that. I think they really favor DiCaprio, man. And hey, to be completely fair, man, if you go back and watch the opportunities that he did have last season, he did not play bad, man. He outplayed CJ Henderson, in my opinion, last year on the opportunities that he had. And they were relatively high on CJ. Whether that was right or wrong, I'm not trying to argue that point.
Yeah,
they were high on him and DiCaprio just looked like a better player when he was on the field, I honestly could see them having a decent amount of faith and they want to see what they do in Evero's system this year before they invest any more money into that position for a serious player.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like at safety? Jammy. It's not Jamie. It's Jam. Nah, I know he calls it Jamie, but look at how it's spelled. That's Jammy.
Well, let's see. We got Fuller, right? We picked up Fuller in the offseason. Right. That's a pretty good acquisition, I think.
Is it? Rams. Is that the guy from the Rams?
Yeah.
A lot of people, Rams fans, talk junk about him.
I think the thing about him is that he's got an aggressive ball hawking play style. And that's something that is different than what we had last year. Now, some of that is Von Bell's injuries last season. I don't think that he was able to play the way that he maybe would have played in a perfect scenario in a vacuum. But I think that for the style that Evero likes to play in disguising coverages and bringing his safeties downhill to blitz, because he doesn't send a lot of pressure from the linebacker position, right? Like we saw last year, we saw Brian Burns drop into coverage a lot more than we had ever seen before. He does a lot of disguising on the back end of his coverage. That's where I think a guy like Jordan Fuller, he's going to make a little bit of his hay as well. But then I do think you see Jamie Robinson maybe mix in there. I mean, hey, look, at some point, man, we have got to see development from some of these draft picks. And that's going to be the real like kicker for this team on offense and defense, is who develops and how far have they gotten in that one offseason working with EJ or with his offensive staff.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, to see the development, that's one of the things I've been harping on for years. Like, even when it comes to some of the guys that we're wondering about this year, like we're still out on DJ Johnson at linebacker. We traded up for him last year, and yet none of us really know if he's going to be a meaningful contributor to this team. Like, someone has to eventually start impressing that we've drafted.
I think the DJ Johnson thing is something fans got to like open their minds to a little bit, man, because look, they signed DJ Wonnum. I don't think that their like anticipation is that DJ Wonnum comes in here and amasses 9 sacks like he did last year in Minnesota. That was a huge benefit to that Brian Flores system of creating chaos. Evero is not that same system. DJ Wonnum was a cleanup hitter. You know what I mean? Like, he took advantage of being in the right place and effort a lot. He didn't win a lot one-on-one. Jadeveon Clowney did, but that was also in Mike McDonald's Baltimore defense with a lot of talent around him and moving pieces that were also playing big parts of that. So I think that DJ Johnson, man, his development is a huge aspect of what this defense is going to be able to do. If he can come out and at least provide that edge setting that they drafted him to be able to do, maybe they can conjure up a little bit more of the secondary blitzing and making pressure. But if he comes out, man, and he's lost again, I wouldn't be surprised if he's a casualty before the 53-man roster is set as well.
Yeah.
Cody, let's take one more call, and we'll continue with this conversation. And I see we can wrap things up soon, too.
Okay.
Yeah, we got to stop with this. Miles Sanders is not a good – or not Miles Sanders. He's not a good running back either. But Rashad Penny's not a good running back, bro. Like, you're excited about this? Is what you're excited about? Come on, man. You guys got to stop, dude. We got to stop with this. We got to stop with this, bro. It's Chuba, and it's the kid, Brooks. That's it. We got to stop, bro. We got to stop this.
But it's just not going to be
we
just to run
crazy back. Now, bro. We sound like
I think Penny fits nicely, though, into the group.
It's terrible, dude.
Especially if you're not counting on him for all the time. You know what I'm saying? If he is...
That's what I was going to say. Who's actually excited about it, though? Like, has anyone actually said, like, oh, man, we just got Rashad Penny. That's a game changer. Or have people said, hey, that makes sense. I'd like to see him force Miles Sanders to win the job.
Like, that's how I mean, there's probably been a few. Ricky, actually.
Yeah, there might have been. You're right, man. There's probably a couple of fans here that have been like, oh, man, that we might make the playoffs with Rashad Penny.
Oh, no.
But there's always fans that get excited about moves,
I'm excited that he just fits in the room in a way that could make sense.
I
a guy that you're not going to make the number, you know what I mean? The former first round draft pick.
Dude, he was drafted.
Is not going to be, you don't have to count on him being the everyday back.
Yeah.
You know, is like, I do think he would be a decent, I don't think this is a terrible sign.
He was drafted before the likes of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel that year after they dominated the SEC at Georgia. That was the same year.
No way.
He was the only second. There was only two running backs chosen in the first round of that draft, and it was Saquon Barkley and Rashad Penny.
Is Sony Michel what ruined Bill Belichick?
I didn't even realize that until you said that is true. Because Chubb went in 2018. It was the first the second round to the Browns.
And if you look at, man, and I posted these stats the other day, you look at the career breakaway running percentage for the guys that are looking at competing for that job, right? Chuba, Miles Sanders, and Penny. Chuba's like a career 21.5% breakaway runner. Miles Sanders is a career 28.3, but last year he was 21.5 here in Carolina. So that's a relatively similar skill set like we were talking about. Like, they are not home run hitters. Rashad Penny is 49.7% of his career rushes have gone for 15 yards or more. He is a breakaway runner.
He has some crazy numbers.
And if he's only going to get 50 touches, 75 touches, all you need is seven of them to go for touchdowns or for 30 yards.
Saying, and Tony makes fun of me for this, but this is why I say to me, this running back room is perfect because we don't have the bell cow. We have a bunch of guys that have different skill sets that can be complementary of one another. And if our O-line does its job, I'm happy with any of these guys being able to eat behind our line, even Sanders.
Yeah. I think Jonathan Brooks is a bell cow. I think that once he's healthy, I think he's a three down back. He's a terrific pass. He's a terrific pass protector. He's terrific at pass protection. He's got the best hands of anybody in the room immediately. The minute that he puts his cleats on and puts a process blue jersey on for practice, he's immediately your best receiving threat out of the back and your best pass protector. He also has a lot more wiggle and vision. He may not have the breakaway speed. I look at him almost as a poor man's Edgerrin James, to be honest.
Okay.
He can do a lot of the things that Edgerrin James did. He just doesn't have the 4.39 speed that Edgerrin James had. But you look at contact balance, you look at vision, you look at the ability to take a screen pass 70 yards, even if it's not for a touchdown, he will make four or five guys miss and get the most yardage that he can. That's a very similar play style, in my opinion, just not the elite version that Edgerrin James was.
Edgerrin James was one of the last all around backs.
Not fast,
but you know what I'm saying? Is a guy that's out there every down.
And look, you look at the statistical comparison between Jonathan Brooks and Bijan Robinson. It's pretty remarkable too, man. So,
oh, we know G Baby has let us know. In fact, is the question is if Brooks wouldn't have had that injury, would he have been a first rounder?
Yeah.
You know,
it's possible, man.
All right. What else you want to talk about, Cody? I got some whatever.
Sorry. Hey, you really are dejected, aren't you?
Nah, my personal life is falling apart, but it's not. But what else are we going to talk about?
I mean, dude, other than running back, really nothing. We were doing some more bubble players. I don't know. Is there, I mean, forget position. Is there any other bubble player that comes to mind?
How about Barno? Let's talk about guys like Barno. Yeah. There's a couple of more guys.
Eco Leota, like the guy that popped up as an undrafted free agent last season. Like, where
everybody raved about him in the offseason last year.
I'm a big Iku fan. I saw him in training camp. I saw him. I watched a lot of his Auburn tape. I watched some of his stuff at Kansas State before then, before he transferred. I mean, he's a good ball player. He's got serious chops. It's just, you know, a developmental thing again.
Well, how about this? Here's a question. Who are we expecting more from this year? Kalevon Chaisson or Amari Barno?
Man, that's a filthy question, Cody.
Yeah, if you look up the numbers for Kalevon Chaisson, he has not been very impressive.
So he hasn't been a bit impressive, like, bro.
he's somebody that could be cut, like that might not even make the roster if he doesn't show some kind of flash.
He didn't get a large contract. I mean, that's a very easy contract to just throw to the side. That was a little bit telling to me when they signed that, right? They want to see him in camp. They want to see him in preseason. They want to see if he has anything that he didn't show. I would be more surprised to see him play a significant role on this team, let alone make it, than I would be to not see him on the team, if that makes sense. Amari Barno is a guy I feel very similar about, though, to be completely honest, man. He's a 6th-round pick. Like, sometimes as fans, we also have to understand that when these guys are taken that late, or when they don't show anything for years after being taken that late, they're not given the grace just because we like their RAS score. Like, coaches are looking at him and they're saying, what can you do for me? What do you provide?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Barno, I think, does have a little bit more value on special teams than Chaisson. I could see him contributing a little bit more in that regard. But I have a hard time seeing either of them being significant contributors, let alone making the 53-man roster.
Do you think that Barno has been impacted by a lack of opportunity, though? I mean, I know that he has seen the field, but even with the limited action that he has seen the field, you're right. He hasn't shined, but there have been, as somebody mentioned in the chat, there has been some flashes.
Sure. Well, my argument to that always is, and it's a good question, man. I think it's totally fair, right, to wonder about, like, is it a lack of opportunity or is it a lack of production? But right. When you have a situation like last year where it was a one-man circus as far as a pass rusher, and you have Amari Barno, who's supposed to have a true pass rushing skill set and the length and the physical attributes to be a good pass rusher, why didn't he crack that rotation to get those opportunities?
Sure.
Because those opportunities are earned. They're not just like handed out because you haven't had a chance, right? Like, I coach my son's flag football team, but it's for 4 through 7-year-olds. Everyone has to play, and everyone has to play every position. I have to rotate those kids. The NFL isn't that. This coach isn't given a directive of saying, hey, you got to make sure that, you know, number 4 over there gets in at least 3 or 4 snaps a game. These guys earn it. And if Barno's not earning that against the likes of Iku Leota and DJ Johnson last year, that tells me more about Amari Barno than it does about those other guys. Sure.
Yeah. That's a fair
it seems like he should fit in this system. You know, kind of long, the outside linebacker, you know, the stand-up edge.
Evero has such an emphasis on setting the edge and run defense from that second line of defense. And I don't know that he's terrific at that. So that's where I think that EJ probably just has some trust issues. And that's why the Chaisson signing was so interesting to me, too, because, man, he gets run over out there. You know what I mean? Like, that dude's got a slight bottom half to him, man. You talk about the athletic.
He's been a real disappointment.
He's not a very big guy.
Listen, they're the same player, to be honest.
I've said that this year, in 2024, the Carolina Panthers only have one objective. Only one. And that's to evaluate Bryce Young. So to me, like, as this isn't a great answer, but I almost don't even care. Not that I don't care, but I don't expect anything from this defense. I don't think that we're going to have I don't think that we're going to have a good pass rush this year. I like the Jadeveon Clowney signing, but I also see the fact that he he's leaving the Baltimore Ravens, who have one of the better D lines in all of football. So I don't think he's going to be the same. Jadeveon Clowney, I agree with you. I don't know what DJ Wonnum is really going to be like here in Carolina. And the rest of it is just a lot of question marks on top of the question marks that we already alluded to at the cornerback position. Mm-hmm. But yet, through all of it, I don't really even care because I'm not expecting much from 2024. The only thing I need to see this year is an offense that shows a sign of life. I need to see something from this offense. And if this defense is at least able to keep us hanging around, then to me, that's a major victory.
Well, I think that their emphasis on run support on defense, right? Because a lot of these moves that they made are clearly to shore up that run defense because we were just obliterated in that regard last year. That also plays into the Bryce Young evaluation, in my opinion, because if Bryce is consistently having to play from behind and he can't get into any kind of a offensive rhythm and actually he talks about wanting to do play action, right? And marrying that from the run game. Well, you can't commit to the run game and effectively run play actions if you're down by 21 in the second quarter and with, you know, 3 or 14 minutes essentially left to play, you're going to have to completely change your offensive approach. So you're not going to get a real evaluation of what Bryce Young can do in a true game situation if the defense is absolutely porous. So I think that they're trying to shore up that run defense to do exactly what you're asking for, Cody, and that's to keep them close in games. And then you're trusting Evero's proclivity at coming up with a good secondary game plan to be able to answer for maybe some of the shortcomings in the personnel department there.
Yeah.
So they add in Josie Jewell, they add in A'shaun Robinson, right? And they say, hey, look, we're going to solidify the middle of that defense. Okay, that makes some decent sense to me. I want to see what Shai Tuttle does this year. I've got a huge question mark about him still being the nose tackle. That feels very uncomfortable for me personally. I don't love that still. A'shaun Robinson, I think, is going to play 5 technique or 3 technique. He's not going to be in there playing 0.
What do you think about Cromartie? I mean, seeing his film, obviously he's a later round pick, but you see why they like him. The dude is strong and aggressive, and he think that maybe they might be looking for him to play some nose.
Maybe. I think that he lacks a little bit of that girth to play nose and to handle the double teams and to occupy 2 blockers. But I think that he does offer a tad of that vertical pass rush from the interior, which I think is a point where we needed to improve as well. But I mean, that's a 6th round pick. That's a good flyer, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm saying, man.
Want to give a quick update. The Carolina Hurricanes and New York Rangers are in overtime.
Oh, damn.
Tied up 3-3 right now. Man, the Canes really need to not go back home down 2 games.
Yep.
Cody.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, I got some crap that I got to deal with, but so whatever, like we got to do some ice up picks. I think we've taken all the calls. Ricky, I'm sorry. Well, thank you, A, for coming on and hanging out. Number one,
no worries, man.
2, this is actually the first time we haven't made you stay till your eyelids just fell asleep on their own. We do one final segment, and so you can think about this as we do it. It's our homage to Steve Smith, where we tell someone to ice up, toughen up, to get it together. Okay. Anyone is fair game. This is where we can go outside of football or stay in football. Let's ice some fools up, Cody.
Let's ice up.
Ice up, son.
It's our homage to Steve Smith, where we tell someone to ice up, toughen up, get it together. Cody, do you got like 7 for us tonight?
No, I have 1.
Okay. Well, you go first because I don't even have a good one.
I hope that this is the one I thought it was. Yeah. Okay. Ricky, if you've been on here for any length of time, I like to show videos of people on motorcycles.
Okay.
Just doing stupid shit, and I like to tell people on motorcycles to ice up, especially when they do really stupid shit, and when they actually need to ice up. And yeah, hold on to your ass. Literally.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. His ass.
Oh, yeah. Dude, but you see the way he lands on the road.
I need some of those motorcycle pants, bro.
Oh.
You know, they make pants that can survive, like, survive that. He didn't have them.
He started riding that motorcycle as a guy and finished it as a baboon. That's yeah, fucking
as
awful.
A baboon, exactly. CK, do you got to ice up for us tonight?
It's just these F around and find out. It's I don't have anything in particular. We'll keep it. Get out of here a little earlier.
All right. Ricky, you got one for me?
I don't really think so, man. If I had to pick an ice up, I would just say to anyone that's still upset about the draft picks, right? Like,
right.
They're over and done with, man. They're on the Carolina Panthers now at this point, whether you like the prospects coming in or not, whether you think that we overpick to get some of the guys or miss some of the guys you love, doesn't really matter at this point, man. We can all agree that we didn't get every single person we wanted. They're Carolina Panthers now. We're about to go into the season. Find some sort of happiness to grab onto and try to be optimistic about this shit show, because last year sucked, man, and it can only go up, right?
I said that shit with Matt Rhule.
I know.
I ate my words.
I heard it when I said it, man. I was just trying to bring a little bit of happiness.
I mean, it's hard to go lower. I mean, I will say this. The floor is low.
Yeah.
There's not much more. I mean, we're in the basement.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Oh, by the way, shout out to JJ for the $1.99. It's just running Panthers pod.
My ice up goes to Jamal Murray for having a temper tantrum and throwing a heating pack or whatever it is on the court.
Maybe it was an ice pack.
Yeah, I mean, but guess what? He's getting iced up. He needs one right now. But, I mean, just come on. You're a pro. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to suspend him. I think they got to do something. And I don't like the NBA a lot. I don't care a lot about it. The NBA playoffs are the worst playoffs in all of sports. Hockey is the best out of all of them. Football is king. Basketball, man, they're going to be playing basketball for another 2 months still, it feels like.
You know, they only hit him with a $100,000 fine. No suspension.
That's it? They didn't suspend him? That's cool. All right. So that's my ice up. All right. You're listening to the C3.
Nobody iced up Drake. Maybe we should ice up Drake.
Oh, well, you can have it. I don't know enough about these kids.
Dude, iced up to everybody that's like, oh, now they're going too far. Dude, everybody's been wanting this beef for a better part of a decade.
They used to shoot people in the 90s.
Yeah, but like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen in a hip-hop beef? Like, there was never going to be shit friendly about it. Yeah. Now they realize they don't want it once they see what it actually starts to look like. So it could be in hypocrites.
Dude, in the 90s, people actually killed people over beefs. This is...
can I just say, as a hip-hop fan, this has been a fucking crazy weekend, dude. Like, every single night there's a brand new diss track coming out, and
that's
I'm a
awesome.
Super fan, so it's like this has been fucking
so
they not like us is an all-time bop, okay? That shit is my fucking jam, bro.
My middle daughter looks like me. She's the Italian baby out of the family. But she's the one that likes, and she's 13. She's the one that likes hip hop the most, I would say, right? And so I was asking her and she about this stuff, and her and her friends have been talking about it or whatever. And I said, "All right, let's listen," because I'm an old man. I mean, I still listen to the same rap I listened to in 2000.
Oh yeah,
I mean, I was listening to Redman today, I think.
Hell yeah,
I said, all right, let's just play. Like, I don't know Drake songs. Like, I just don't know modern music. I mean, I know the J. Cole song I know came out in 2012 with Royal, whatever is like lame ass, the Fool Me One.
Oh, with Trey Songz or something like that. The Can't Get Enough.
Shame
probably.
On Me. Yeah. Fool Me Once, Shame on You. Fool Me Twice, Fool Me, got the George Bush clip in there.
No role models. Yeah,
no role models. That's 12 years old. That's like the song I know by J. Cole. But I said, all right, we're riding home from school. And the girls, they just they love to be like, let me take over the spot, you know, the phone. As soon as they get in, they're like, let me hook it up. And I said, all right, let's listen to some Drake songs on the way home. I don't know anything about it. And then let's listen to some Kendrick Lamar songs. Not the beefs, just songs.
Sure.
And I got to say, is Kendrick Lamar, I was totally,
he's a rapper. He's a
more than the pop artist. Yeah. So I was just, it's just, look, ice up to y'all. If you think that's a real beef, bro, look at what Tupac and Biggie did over Little Kim. I think it was Little Kim. All right. That's the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com. Ricky, tell them where they can find your podcast and your work, please. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you for having me on, man. I feel bad. You know, the last time that I came on, Cody, I think you ended up being sick or something like that. You didn't feel well. Now, Tony, you got to get out of Dodge.
Nah,
like,
no.
Am I like a bad luck charm? No, like, you guys are going to second guess having me on here.
Look, our podcast is still an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's still pretty solid, right?
Like it. It's like it's short.
You can find my podcast. It's called The Bow Body Show at any of the streaming sites that you would go to, Apple, YouTube, anything like that. If you hit a like and a subscribe, man, that goes a long way. I'm terrible at endorsing my own show. So
you got to self-promote.
Yeah, you got to sell it, man, and I'm just not a salesman. You can also check out my articles for Cat Crave. I put out a couple of things there every month, and follow me on Twitter or X at Ricky Bow Body. And anytime that I'm on C3, man, make sure you check it out. It's a great show. I always appreciate you fellas asking me to come on, man.
Thank you. Cody Light, will you take us out of here?
Yes, sir. C3 Panther Nation, the longest running Panthers podcast on the internet, because they're not like us. Keep pounding.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.